You know, one of the things that is certainly true about many, many churches is that people seem to enjoy to get together when there is food at the fellowship. But you know, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 speaks to us about two kinds of food which a person needs. First of all, bread, which is food for the physical body. And secondly, the word of God, which is food for the soul. It is nourishment from food that makes a body grow. When you were born into the family of God, you were born again with a spiritual nature. This nature needs to be fed just as our bodies need to be fed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Growing in our relationship with God should be one of our top priorities. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, a baby begins with drinking milk and then moves on to more solid food until he is eating meat. We too must increase the solidity of our spiritual food. If we look in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What is the scripture saying here? The Christians here are being challenged that because they have not spent time studying God's word, they are still needing milk rather than meat because they're not able to understand the deeper truths of God's word. As we are born into God's family, as we continue to grow, there needs to come a time in our life when we are able to share our faith and teach others. Now you may say, well, I'm not like Kristen. I'm not born a teacher. God is not saying that each one of us needs to go into a classroom and teach children, but we should be able to communicate God's truth with other people. And we must be careful that we don't fall into this category that years and years and years have gone by since our day of salvation, and we're still needing to be taught and not able to teach. We should be able to move from the simpler truths of the scripture to the deeper doctrines of our faith and be able to share them with others as well. And the scripture says here that the meat is for the mature. The solid food is for the mature who by constant use. How are we able to be able to understand more of God's word? How are we able to rightly divide the word of truth so that we can use it to benefit other people? It's by a constant use. We have to study God's word and read it every day, constantly. As we spend time in God's word, we will grow. Just as we eat physical nourishment, physical food each day, and we grow. If we eat spiritual food each day, we too will grow. It's the consistency that is vital. We need regular nourishment. Now, let me ask you a question, and again, you don't have to respond, but But how often do you eat physical food? For some, it might be 3 times a day. For some, it might be 2 times a day. For some, it may be more. But most people eat at least 1 time a day. But now we ask ourselves, how often do we partake of spiritual food? Do we partake of spiritual food at least daily? Or is it weekly? Or is it monthly? You know, as we study the scriptures tell us to not only read God's word, but to meditate upon God's word. Matter of fact, it was quite interesting, I thought, because Wednesday night, Bill went over a lot of these same verses that we're looking at this morning from Psalm 119, talking about the importance of spending time in God's word. Psalm 48, verse 9, tells us that we should meditate on God's unfailing love. If you want something to encourage you during a time when you're feeling depressed or discouraged, when you're feeling unwanted or you're feeling lonely, when you concentrate on God's unfailing love, that can certainly bring you up out of the pits of despair. Psalm 145, verse 5, says to meditate on all his wonderful works. As you look around you, you see the mighty handiwork of our Almighty God. In creation, you see the power that he has. As we meditate on what he has done through creation, as we take time to reflect in our own lives and see the ways that God has answered prayer, the way God has had his hand of protection upon us, the way God has revealed his grace to us, again, it cannot help but to encourage us and to help us to feel much more loved. So we're to meditate on God's wonderful works. Again, if things aren't quite going right in your life, and you're feeling that things are just kind of falling apart, maybe, just maybe, the reason is because we're trying to build those things. We're trying to hold those things together rather than allowing God to hold them. So as we look around us and we see his wonderful, marvelous works, and we see how he's able to keep creation functioning as he does, keeping all the laws of physics moving in the right direction, then it encourages us to say, well, you know what, God? If you can do that with all this around us, you can probably take this problem that I'm dealing with, that I'm struggling with, and handle that as well. Psalm 119, verse 27 says we're to meditate on all his wonders, or all his miracles, all the great things, again, that God has accomplished. And if you're going through one of those times in your life that, again, it just seems like things are not falling into place, no matter how hard you try, things are not getting better, and you just feel that there is no way out, when we meditate upon God's wonders, upon his miracles, upon his mighty works, it cannot help but to encourage us again to the awesome things that God can accomplish. Psalm 119, verse 48 encourages us to meditate on his promises. As you look through scripture and you see all the many promises that God gives to us as his children, again, there is no reason to ever feel that our life is not worth anything, that there is no hope for us, that no one even cares about us, because we see that God has promised so much, especially his presence, and that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. If you read all of Psalm 119, you see that God, it talks to us about meditating upon God's precepts, his decrees, his statutes. In other words, what it's saying is take time to meditate on his word, on all that's recorded in these books. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 talks about the man who does that very thing. It says that blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Do you feel that there are things missing in your life? Does your life feel empty? Many times you you don't just sense the presence of God. Maybe you're not spending time with God as you need to. It said, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So we've already seen quickly that we are to read God's word consistently. And we're to not only read it, but we're to take the next step and we are to meditate upon it. Thirdly, we're encouraged to also not only read, not only meditate, but to be a doer of the word. Look with me, if you would, to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Pretty simple, isn't it? Now, we might ask ourselves, what's the writer saying here? What do you mean, do not merely listen and deceive yourselves? How are you going to deceive yourself by listening to the word of God? You see, what happens so many times when we just listen to the word of God, it's easy to begin to feel like, well, I've got all the scriptures down. I've heard it all. I know it all. There's nothing more that I need to do. But you see, that's not true. That's why the scripture says, don't deceive yourself. You need to do more than to just listen to it. You need to do more than just to read it. You need to do more than to just hear it. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves into believing that we know more than we really do. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You see, when you just hear something, it's very easy to walk away and forget what you've heard. Matter of fact, it's been done where people have been called later in the afternoon on a Sunday or even that evening and asked to tell about what went on in church that morning. And it might be surprising to find how many say, we talked about the Bible, we talked about God, but don't really remember. That's what the importance is about taking notes. One of the greatest things you can do is jot down some notes, because even if you don't pick those notes up again, you're using another sense, and it helps you to remember what God is teaching you. But the problem is, it's so easy to forget what we hear. But it goes on to say, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. What happens? As we take the word of God that we have heard, as we take the word of God that we have studied and we have meditated upon, and we put it into practice, number one, it's going to help us to remember it down the road when possibly those particular scriptures or passages can minister to us again. But also, as we put it into practice, it's using another sense. And it helps to, again, reinforce God's truth. And one of the things that I have seen in the many years that I've been in the ministry is how when people have taken God's word and they have put it into practice, how the power of God has come upon their lives and changed them drastically. I've shared before about our ministry in Bethlehem and how when we first went there, the youth group was basically a social club. Kids got together, they had activities, they had fun. That was pretty much it. There wasn't really a lot of teaching. As a matter of, you know, because teens, they don't need all that. That's for adults, right? But you know, when we got them studying God's word, when we got them memorizing scriptures, when we got them getting involved in missions and going out on the streets, when we got them involved in puppet ministries and music ministries and got them using their talents for the Lord, guess what? They got excited about God. And you know what? Many of those teens began to get their parents and other adults excited about God as they got up and shared what God was doing in their life. Why? Because they weren't only hearing it anymore. They were doing it. And when you do it, you see the power of God come alive. So many of us feel that our lives are empty, that we just don't feel the presence of God. We don't feel his power. And I believe the reason for that is so many times it's because we are not allowing him to work through us. It is so exciting to say, okay, God, here I am. I may not totally understand all the talents or abilities that you've given to me. As a matter of fact, I don't feel like you've given me too many. But you created me. You've enabled me to accomplish whatever task your will has for me. So I'm going to let you do it. And when we allow God to do it and we see him starting to work through our lives, it gets exciting. God can open up opportunities for us that we never imagined. God can bring fruit and blessings to us that we never imagined possible. So that's the difference. Instead of just hearing, instead of just reading, and instead of just meditating, when we do, we see the power of God at work firsthand. And what is more meaningful to an individual? For somebody to come up and to tell you how great a product is, or for you to actually try that product and see the benefits of that product firsthand, and for you to personally benefit from it? Obviously, the latter. And it's the same thing with God. So many people will sit in church week after week after week after week, and they will hear about the benefits of God, the benefits of yielding to the control of his Holy Spirit, the benefits of giving him our lives, but they don't actually do it. And they wonder why God's power and God's presence is not real to them. They wonder why so many things are happening in a negative sense in their lives, in their relationships. It's because they're trying to do it themselves without allowing God to have a vital part. So we need to not only read it, we need not to only meditate, but we need to be doers. Fourthly, John chapter 14, verse 26 shares with us a very vital element that is so necessary as we study the Word of God. John 14, 26 says, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So before reading, we need to pray. And we need to ask the Father to give us understanding of his word through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You can find things that the Holy Spirit wants you to teach from, or wants to teach you from your Bible reading by asking simple questions like this. In this passage, which are the words that I understand best and which speak to me in a special way? Let me encourage you too, do not be afraid to underline, highlight, or even take notes in your Bible. Because again, it's helping you to understand the truth that God wants you to do. One of the great things about highlighting within your Bible or underlining is if you have verses that really speak to you and you're going through a particular struggle or a trial and you can leaf through your Bible, those verses will jump out to you. And you'll be able to read them and you'll be able to allow God to use them to minister to your heart. So we want to come to the Holy Spirit and ask him, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to learn? What do you want to teach me? What do you have for me today? And you know, one of the things that's so exciting about, again, trusting God, even in our devotional life, how many times, and I know many of you have experienced this very thing, how many times have you studied a verse and God has just spoken to your heart and in such a special way. He's touched you. You say, wow, God really spoke to me this morning. And then maybe 6 months later, a year or 2 years later, you read the very same verse. But guess what? Something else stands out to you. Why? Because God has a different message for you today. Does that mean that verse conflicts with each other? No, God says many different things. We've shared before in our devotional life, one of the exciting things to be able to do, and I encourage you sometimes during your devotions to try it, is emphasize each word of that verse individually. Like, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. The emphasis is on myself. This is something personal. This is not something that's just written to other people, but this is something that I can claim. I can do all things. Can is a positive connotation. It means I know that I can do this. Do you see how different things are emphasized as you emphasize the different words? But so many times as we study God's word, God knows what we need. God knows what he needs to teach us. The Holy Spirit knows what we're going through. And if we will just trust him, he will bring his truth out to us. Quickly, what are some of the benefits that we can derive as we take time to read, as we take time to meditate, as we take time to do, as we take time to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us? Obviously, growth. If we read God's word daily, it will help us to grow spiritually. There's no doubt about it. Many people have been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years, but still don't understand much more than they did the first few weeks or months that they were saved. Why? There's been no growth. They haven't spent time studying or learning the word of God. When you read God's word daily, you will grow spiritually. There is no way that bringing God's word and allowing it to touch our lives will not affect us in a very positive way. Without a consistent diet of the word of God, one will be spiritually weak. There is no doubt about it. One may wonder why they do not experience God's presence, God's peace, or God's strength. It may just be that they are not spending time with God regularly. Married couples do not understand why their marriage is not fulfilling, and they are not experiencing God's blessing in their relationship. How much time are they spending in God's word together and praying? One of the things that is so unfortunate, I believe, in so many relationships today is that couples do not spend time with God together. They do not spend time studying the word of God and praying together. And yet that is so vital. And that can make such a difference on a marriage relationship when both are spending that time in God's word together. Look with me, if you would, back to Psalm 119. We see not only do we grow spiritually, but God's word also provides for us protection. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Studying God's word protects us from sin. Spending time not only reading but studying God's word can build strong spiritual lives that will help us avoid the dangers that are all around us. Remember, 2 Peter challenges us to be alert, to be aware. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, roameth about seeking whom he may devour. We are in a spiritual warfare, whether we want to admit it or not. And the enemy is looking for ways to ensnare us. He doesn't want us to enjoy the power or the presence of God. He doesn't want us to be able to have a close walk and a special relationship with Jesus. He wants to rob us from that. But if we will keep our eyes upon our Heavenly Father, when we will spend time in His Word will protect us from falling into the entrapments that the enemy will try to set for us. Psalm 119, verse 105, tells us that God's word will also provide guidance for us. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a lamp unto my feet. Have there ever been a time in your life, and maybe you're experiencing it now, where you're just not quite sure where God wants you to go or what he wants you to do? I can remember many times through the years being in a dark room when it was so dark that you couldn't see in front of you. And how great it is when you're able to bring out a match or some or a flashlight and be able to somehow get light so you can see that you're not going to walk into something and hurt yourself. Well, that's like the word of God. God's word tells us that when we are living in this world apart from God, we're living in darkness. We can't see God's truth. We can't see where the pitfalls that lie ahead of us. But his word is a light. It's a lamp. It guides us. Guides us through the obstacles that we face each and every day, through this journey upon this earth, until that day that again we ultimately step before the light of the world, the Almighty God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we're in his presence. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Living by God's word and his principles also unites believers and builds up the body to care for one another and to accomplish God's work on this earth. We talked about last week being a child of God. We talked about that as being a child of God, we have brothers and we have sisters spiritually, those who have also received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And when we spend time in God's word together, it reinforces the importance of being a family, about being there to help, to encourage, to meet the needs of others that are in our family. And what a blessing that can be. Look with me, if you would, back to the Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We find that we grow. We grow spiritually when we study God's word. We see that it provides protection against the snares of the enemy. We see that it brings us guidance. It helps us to care and understand what one another, what our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through. But lastly, each one of us needs to take time to be involved in spreading the word. God is giving us such a very special book here to read. You know, many times I've had people come up to me who have read a new book that's been released, and they say, "Have you read such and such? It's a great book. Here, let me give you a copy of it to read." Or maybe they've seen a new movie released on video or now on DVD, and they say, "Have you seen such and such a movie? Wow, it's a great, powerful movie. You've got to see it." How many times have we walked up to people and said, "Have you read God's word? You should read God's word. Boy, is it exciting. Boy, is it powerful. It has everything in here that you could want." We need to spread God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. It says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you stand up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So many times we wonder why our children are not excited about God. We wonder why so many children sway or stray from walking with God. And yes, we do understand that there's times that kids are going to go, especially teenagers, through times of rebellion. But also we see that so many times, as we look back, maybe, just maybe, we didn't really spend a lot of time with them in God's word together. How many families each day have personal devotions with their family? You see here, it says, "Impress these truths upon your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Do our children really see us having a close relationship with God, one that is part of each and every part of our day? Do we spend time with our kids and let them see that we're excited about having a relationship with God, that He's important to us, that His principles are important to us? Or do they see that, yeah, we go to church on Sundays and we pray before meals, but that's about all that we do? Do our children see that God is a vital part of each and every day that we live? One other verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here's a challenge that I'd like to share to each one of us today. I believe that this is so vital, especially in the day and age that we live. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of His appearing in His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come," tell me if this doesn't sound familiar, "when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." You know, I had a pastor stop by early this week, and we sat in my office and shared a little bit. You know, one of the things that he shared with me is that how today it's so unfortunate. So many churches are watering down the truth that they are preaching from their pulpits. So many churches are trying to be careful not to say anything that's going to intimidate anybody, offend anybody, not to share the scriptures that are going to make people feel uncomfortable. Why? Because if somebody's toes are stepped on, they're not going to come back next Sunday. And how true this is that all around our country, so many churches have fallen into this trap, that they're being careful to say things to avoid offending other people rather than teaching God's word and God's truth. But you know what the scripture here says? That's part of today. People have itching ears. And there are so many churches that when they're looking for a pastor or they're looking for people to put into leadership positions, again, they're looking for people that are going to teach what they want to hear, not necessarily what the Bible teaches. There are many people out there that are really not necessarily concerned with being able to understand what the scripture teaches from beginning to end, from cover to cover. They just want something that's going to make them feel good and they can go home and say, "I'm a child of God. I'm loved of God." And that's where it ends. And it's true, we are a child of God and we're loved of God. Amen? Amen. And that's a blessing. That's terrific to know I'm loved of God. But with that love comes responsibility. Just as a parent, it's great to be loved by your children, isn't it? It's great to have them come up and hug you. And you know, one of the greatest things I can always remember when our children were younger and I'd come home and walk through the door, what a great feeling, how exhilarating when the kids would come run and they just jump into your arms, you know, and give you a hug that they're glad to see you. That's great. But you know what? With that love comes responsibility, doesn't it? We don't really love our children if all we do is give them hugs, but we don't take care of their daily needs. We don't train them spiritually. We're not there for them when they hurt or when they're wanting. There's responsibility goes with that love. And it's the same thing here. God loves us. But you know, with that love comes responsibility also. And God certainly has shown His responsibility through the giving of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has shown his love and that he cares for us each and every day. But how do we respond to that love? Do we pass that love on to others?